Sawing on the strings.
Which is funny because Handsaw.
Oh, it just happens to be next.
Well, we're going to go back to Channel Lock. I mean, for years, the channel, it's like Kleenex. It's not necessarily, it's the household name for that product itself. And is that type of plier. But they have now made, and we do have a set of pliers that come from Channel Lock. You've got three different varieties. You've got your needle nose, your traditional channel locks, and then some snip pliers for something that's got a good cutting edge. But Channel Lock is now making 100% American-made screwdrivers. And this is a multi-bit screwdriver. So you've got your handle, and you can pull one end out, and it's got a small flathead and a large flathead. So you flip it to whatever side you need. And the other side, the other tip, is Phillips head. Do you know when they first used a Phillips head screwdriver?
Okay, that's my question. It has nothing to do with Phillips Milka Magnesia or any thing of the sort. Okay. Why is it called a Phillips screwdriver?
Henry Phillips patented the idea out of the need for a solution and the line manufacturing required for the 1936 Cadillac.
So it was made for a car.
It was made for a car.
Okay, that makes sense. A flatter head versus, I guess,
Phillips.
Phillips, yeah, for them, versus the regular screwdriver, which has a kind of a rounded head.
Uh-huh.
So it was made for a car.
It was made for a car. I would have guessed a Phillips head was dated more than 100 years ago, but we're still, what, 1936, you know, we're at 91 years that technology's been around. Something that we take for granted as everyday use, the Phillips head screwdriver, not even 100 years old yet.
Wow. And I thought the state of Arizona was the youngest state in the union, in the contiguous 48 states and all that, but the screwdriver's even younger than that. I mean, the Phillips head is younger than that. Wow.
So the handsaw, you had brought in the program by playing a song about handsaws.
Sawing on the fiddle.
Well, they date that one back about 1500 BC as well. And in the ruins found through the pyramids and everything, some of the early Egyptian handsaws were a combination of both bone and stone. What kind of bone would you look for? Africa, the Nile, are there crocodiles in that part of Egypt? I don't think they're quite in crocodile land yet.
But when you're thinking bones, you're thinking prehistoric, but that's too far back, wouldn't it be?
I think so. So I don't know what type of bone, but that's kind of the first remnants of where they're seeing saws. There are 16th century Japan bow saws is where the bow saw goes back to Japan 16th century, mm-hmm. 6th century, excuse me, that they've uncovered and been able to document over the time. And of all the tools that we've talked about from the tape measure and the hammer and everything, design and style and there's very little that has changed in the saw from start to finish. And the biggest factor in saws, obviously, is our metal technology, being able to, you know, form those and have the blades and sharpen at different angles. You know, that's all the steel and the teeth technology. But the biggest is interchangeable blades. That's been the biggest development from one phase to the next in the world of handsaws.
Hacksaws. You've got 10-inch, 12-inch, and a little handsaw, too, as mm-hmm. well. It goes about 7 inches.
And we do have two types of handsaws that will be in the toolkit. You'll have a 15-inch traditional wood saw by Stanley, wood-handled.
Nice.
That you can use for quick cutting if you're working on a baseboard project or you need to cut a piece of 2x4. Whatever the case may be. But then we also have a multi-purpose hacksaw, which you can interchange a metal biting bit or a wood bit or whatever the case may be. You'll use that a lot for plumbing fixtures or if you need PVC pipe. I use mine a lot in sprinkler and irrigation work. A lot of different interchangeable multifunction, but it's all of the tools are hand tools. And we got a number of people keep asking, when's it available? When's it available? Well, we were really hoping by today, but we really are. You know, the biggest thing I mentioned? It's the toolbox is what's holding it up. We need the final sample to get in. As I mentioned, they don't make them till you order them. Mm-hmm. So it's a 6-week turnaround time. Well, we need a physical toolbox to finish calculating the measurements for packaging. That's what's holding us up, is getting the final set. And even they can send it to you, but you know, you've got to do the final measurements and the weight. That's going to determine the shipping cost. So as soon as that the toolbox situation is solved, we'll have them available. I mean, it's going to be any day. But, join us next Saturday. We're going to be live at Whiskey Row, Jersey Lily, in Prescott for the Arizona Christmas Parade.